When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline Shop. Hundreds of Toyotas indoors. One of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, Joe.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Alex Donnell, host of Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast. And we say good morning to him. And before we get into everything, boy, I'll tell you what. I think this is a big, big two playoff games coming up for the ACC with SMU and Penn State and Clemson and Texas to make sure they have a good showing, because if not, everybody's going to say, we told you, ACC was weak. It's a whole weak conference. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think both of them, SMU and Clemson, probably have more of a shot than people give them credit for. I will say for the SMU at Penn State game, the weather is going to be a factor there, Joe. You know, they're going to be playing at Beaver Stadium at Penn State. It's going to be 25 degrees. It might snow. I don't know how that's going to play for SMU, that usually plays in 72 degrees in Dallas. But I think SMU can surprise some people. And I wouldn't completely count Clemson out. I mean, it's a team with a really, really strong defense. Cade Klubnik has been playing well through the second half of the season. I'm not fully believing in Texas. You know, they had kind of an easy road through the SEC into the championship game. So nothing would shock me in these playoffs, Joe.
All right. So the Canes are preparing for this bowl game next weekend against Iowa State. I got to tell you, this is a crazy time because you've got that going on. You've got Mario trying to get his team ready to play, and he's got this transfer portal, which is so damn important. You're trying to find guys that can come in and replace guys that you know can play because you've seen them play at a high level, whether it's a smaller Division I program or a bigger program. They've added a couple of guys, but something's got to get fixed on this system. It just makes no sense and really not fair. And I know everybody's got a big organization of people in the recruiting department, but this is crazy doing this, Alex.
Yeah, and it's basically unlimited now, Joe. I mean, when the transfer portal first started, you know, five, six years ago, you know, at that point, you kind of had a cap on how many times guys could transfer. I mean, a lot of guys were getting waivers and stuff, but you couldn't just transfer every year. Now the floodgates are open. So not only do you have schools, you know, tampering with you, recruiting you, trying to entice you into the portal, but, you know, guys can go to, you know, four schools in 4 years, five schools in 5 years, and so on. So you have the craziness of, you know, trying to get your NIL bids in for players in the portal. And then you also have to try to recruit the guys that are currently on your roster to keep them from leaving and going somewhere else. So it's absolutely crazy, Joe. I mean, people try to compare this to NFL free agency, but it's way crazier than that, because at least in the NFL, you've got contracts and you're not on the open market every single year.
So you got to help me out. Is Cam Ward really going to play in this game in Orlando? Is that the word, or is it going to be like, hey, I'll play part of it and get somebody else ready to go? Or what do you expect from Cam Ward in this game in Orlando?
I think the second part of your statement is what I don't know. Is he going to play the entire game? I think that's an excellent question, Joe, because as far as Cam Ward suiting up and playing the game, he has reiterated that multiple times. He has made it loud and clear, and every time he's interviewed, it seems like the people who interview him don't believe it, so they ask him again, and he said it again and again and again. He's playing in the Pop-Tart Bowl. But to your other part of your question, is he going to play four quarters? Is he going to go out there kind of like an NFL preseason game? Is he going to hopefully lead a couple of touchdown drives and then take a seat. That's the part that I don't know. But I do know something about Cam Ward, Joe. First of all, he doesn't have an agent yet. A lot of players do, whether it be, you know, NIL agents that are, you know, kind of transitioning towards the NFL part of it. Cam Ward doesn't have an agent, so he doesn't have someone in his ear telling him not to play. You know, Ward, you know, he looks at it as his team, and it really is. I mean, he's been the emotional leader in that locker room since he arrived last January. And to him, it's just important to play and kind of finish the job that he started here at Miami. So I fully expect Ward to play, but how much, that's the part I can't answer.
All right, let's talk about three guys going to the Senior Bowl here, Restrepo, Arroyo, and Rivers. You think they all play in this game? I know Restrepo wasn't sure for a while. He hadn't made up his mind. What do you think they do?
Yeah, I've heard, and I don't want to speak for anybody, but they're probably going to be some no's in there. I think the last that I heard on all of them, including Restrepo, is undecided. It would not surprise me if he opts out. Same thing with Arroyo. I don't expect the three names you mentioned necessarily to play. And you know what? From a Hurricane fan standpoint, you know, I know a lot of people are screaming at the top of their lungs. You want to see the young guys. You want to see the young receivers get more opportunities.
Yep.
Yeah, no, and I totally get it, because Miami had such an upperclassman, top-heavy rotation of receivers this past year. We didn't get to see a lot of Ray Joseph and Josiah Trader and Nye Carr and Chance Robinson, and even Shamar Kirk, who's a junior, but you know, he's a former transfer. I thought Kirk would play more this year than he did, so maybe we see more of him in the bowl game. So to me, there's nothing wrong with that. If you have some of these guys who are headed to the NFL and the Senior Bowl who decide to opt out, I'd like to see more of these young receivers play.
Yeah, what a great way to kick off spring football early, right? Getting those guys playing time and let them get in there. So yeah, I wish Restrepo and Arroyo and Rivers only the best. If they don't play, I got no problem. Absolutely no problem with it. All right, this next one's really interesting to me because it had to do with my old school. Fernando Mendoza did not play in the game against Vegas the other night. When Cal played him, he jumped in the transfer portal. He is one of the hottest quarterbacks in the transfer portal. Is there a chance? Mario knows the family, and I'm guessing if Mario wants Fernando Mendoza, Doc Mendoza and the families are really close, that he's going to come back. Have you heard anything? There might be some interest in Fernando Mendoza coming back to quarterback this team.
I have. They haven't pushed for, to my understanding anyway, I don't think that they have pushed for him the way that they pushed for John Mateer, who they ultimately missed out on, who was, you know, Cam Ward's backup at Washington State, who just lit it up this year. He ends up at Oklahoma. Oklahoma had the inside track because they literally went and hired his offensive coordinator and his quarterback's coach to help, and power to them for doing that. But that helped them, you know, get him over to Oklahoma. So Miami missed out on Mateer. So I feel like Miami was really thinking about going all in on Mateer, and then maybe now that they missed out, they're going to assess their plan Bs. Joe, I really like Fernando Mendoza, you know that. But I would imagine that the decision that is being debated right now in Coral Gables with Mario Cristobal, Shannon Dawson, and the rest of the staff is, you know, what type of quarterback do we go after now? Because I think with only three scholarship quarterbacks at the moment, at the very least, you need to add somebody for depth.
Yeah.
But obviously, if you go after a guy like Fernando Mendoza, this is a potential top-line starter, so this is not a depth piece. But then you have to decide, how highly do we value Emory Williams,
well,
who would be the likely starter next year? Yeah, if you don't add somebody, Emory Williams, who you've been developing for the past 2 years, you know, he's been working with Shannon Dawson for that time. He's been working behind Cam Ward this past season. I had a conversation yesterday with Cam Ward's father, who said that Cam really believes in Emory Williams and he thinks he's ready to step up. So there's that. So you have to wonder, is it worth potentially unsettling the ecosystem of your quarterback room to go get a guy? So Miami needs to decide, how good do we think Fernando Mendoza is, and how much better do we think he is than Emory Williams, and so on. But at the end of the day, Joe, they probably need to add somebody, even if it's like, you know, a Reese Poffenbarger 2.0. Because if you only have three scholarship quarterbacks in the room, and none of them have much of any experience. I mean, Luke Nickell is coming in as a true freshman. Judd Anderson's a redshirt freshman next year who, you know, hasn't played at the college level at all. And Emery Williams is two starts under his belt as a true freshman and limited work outside of that. You probably need to add somebody else with experience to that room no matter what. But you have to decide, is the juice worth the squeeze with Fernando Mendoza?
Hey, Al.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Alex, I've been saying, though, I am all for it. He just had a couple of great recruiting classes. Develop some of those guys. Let's develop more of those guys, even if they've been a little slow coming around for you. Stick with it, man, and get them in there so they don't leave. By the way, this transfer portal life is expensive. You know, yeah. I'm not saying the high school thing's not expensive too once they start playing well, but man, you just had a couple of great recruiting classes. Not talking about the one you just had, but before those last two. We need to see a lot of those faces out there and playing. And I'm not just doing the local South Florida kid, but some of the guys in those recruiting class, they have a couple of big-time defensive linemen, defensive tackles. One played a little bit. One didn't play at all. I mean, those guys, I don't know how smart they are. I don't know if they're slow learners, but they got to play. I mean, it's good for business. We got to get those guys out playing. You agree with all that?
100%, Joe, and I think it's what I dislike most about the transfer portal is that it really kind of sabotages high school recruiting. It really does.
Yes.
That, you know, you work so hard to try to land these top classes out of high school, and then, you know, you feel this pressure to kind of microwave your roster every year, and there are players out there like, I can't believe this guy's available, we have to go after him, and then does that undermine, you know, the recruiting you did out of high school? And I understand you got to compete, it's the reality, and Miami got some great pieces in the portal last year, including, you know, the best quarterback in the country, I believe, in Cam Ward, so certain aspects of it worked out, but I just hate the idea that you put so much time, effort, resources, and money into recruiting the top players out of high school, and then a lot of these guys will never even see the field for you if you recruit over them in the portal.
Yeah. And the other thing is you're recruiting, you're having great success, and I'm going to throw these two high schools out there, Chaminade and Central right now. We need those guys to keep playing. You need, I mean, those schools are loaded. And I'm not taking anything away from American Heritage and Plantation and St. Thomas, but I think it's good for business, man, and get more of their top players to want to come because they've got them just about every year. So that's just my thoughts for whatever the hell it's worth, man. I don't know if you're – and I'm not trying to do that. I'm not one who believes you got to do all local recruiting. That's a bunch of crap. You go get the best players from around the country. You agree with that, right?
Yeah, 100%. And I think, like you said, the pipelines with some of these top area high schools are really, really important. And I think we're seeing a lot of those pipelines getting repaired over the past few years. And sometimes the transfer portal gives you a chance to bring some of these guys
home.
Like I know a name Miami's really after today. We're probably going to hear more about it is Xavier Lucas, who was, you know, a top defensive back last year at American Heritage. Four-star recruit. He went out to Wisconsin. He's in the transfer portal. Miami's trying to bring Lucas back home. They need defensive backs. He was one of the top freshman corners in the country last year. You know, we know that defense is what really needs the most fixing on this Hurricanes roster. So listen, so sometimes if you miss out on some of the local guys in high school, you can go grab them a year or two later.
Boy, that darn American Heritage Plantation is just loaded with skilled athletes and cornerbacks. My God, they've had a bunch of guys coming through that school that have really, really been done a great job. Hey, it's always great having you, Alex. Thank you so much, man. Have a great holiday. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Happy holidays to you in Hollywood.
All right. Alex Donnell, host of Locked On Canes and Locked On ACC podcast, joining us a little bit here. Michael Kotze is joining me right now to talk about... No, he's not here. Good morning, Michael. I know one thing. It's a holiday season, and Michael Kotze is going to be working. He really has no life. His kids asked him the other day, said, "Hey, Dad, seriously, can you not work today? Can we do something together? You want to go out and get on the ice a little bit, work out a little bit or something?" And Mike Kotze says, no. I got to help people. We got some new clients. We got to help them. Looking to get a mortgage, looking to get it quickly. I got to get the best rate. And, man, he is off. No wonder Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage and his 35 years of experience, why he's been so successful right here in South Florida. Hey, whatever you're looking for. Matter of fact, if you're self-employed, you've been declined by the banks, Michael Kotze's got a program for you. If it's about getting approved quickly, you found a home, you got to get something done real, real quickly and get the best rates, that's Michael Kotze. That's right up his alley, man. He's ready to roll. Google their reviews on the web, Choice Mortgage Reviews, and find out what everybody's saying about Michael Kotze. Hey, the reverse mortgage, I always talk about it because it's the old people mortgage. That's right. If you're 62 or older, you and your spouse, the reverse mortgage might be perfect for you. You're getting ready to retire, or you just retired and you got all that equity in your home and you'd like to get it out and still have a place to live. Michael Kotze and a reverse mortgage might be absolutely perfect for you. Whatever it is you're looking for right now, you need some of that equity in your home, call Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. He really has no life. He's working, and he works 7 days a week. Call or text him. 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change. Daily without notice. Easy on equal housing lender.